Welcome to a place where two HR professionals, who happen to be twins, by the way, have shop talk about HR, careers, and all the things you want to say at work but won't. The Career Salon is a place to relax, a place to learn, and a place to be yourself.
This is a judgment-free zone where we put it all on the table to become better. We learn many things from our guests and hope you grab a couple of things to take with you as well. We spend most of our time at work, so let's talk about what that means. Come on in. The salon is open.
Welcome to the Career Salon Podcast with the HR Twins. Woo-hoo! And we're back. Hey, Carla.
Hey, Camille. It's so funny calling you by your name. I don't know why.
Why?
I don't know.
All right. Welcome to this podcast. This is going to be an interesting one, you all. We've been wanting to talk about this for a long time, and we finally got around to talking about this subject. It's more in Carla's wheelhouse, but I mean, I guess as a leader and a person in HR, I have experience with this too. But Carla, what is our topic for this podcast?
Well, there's been numerous articles going around about PIPs. PIPs are performance improvement plans. One in particular is Microsoft's ex-VP of HR says you should leave a company right away if you get put on a PIP. Surviving it is like a sign on your back.
Carla, whoa. Before you go any further, some people don't know what a PIP is.
I know.
What is a PIP, Carla?
It's a performance improvement plan. And The article is defining it. I'm going to just read it from here. People are put on PIPs because of significant issues meeting the job requirements. And they are unable or unwilling to get the results the job requires. So usually it's a template that people use, and it outlines like the expectations of the role, and it shows like some examples of how the person is not meeting the expectations, what is needed or expected to meet the expectations, and a deadline. We have even more templates that go into resources that an employee could tap into to gain the skills or correct and fill any gaps. And also, a PIP is really labor intensive if you do it right, because it means that you as a manager feels like this is, okay, let me preface. Okay, so it is saying that you as a manager believe that this person can meet the expectations if we just take our time and go through the gaps. But some managers use this as a tool as kind of a last chance document, a documented effort to have that CYA cover your butt before you term a person. People do use it as that. But primarily, the intention is supposed to be to actually help a person improve.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's a lot. And I agree with you. There are a lot of different reasons that people are put on performance improvement plans. It is a documented effort and all that. But from what I've seen from the employee standpoint, a lot of employees think that it's a petty thing to put them on a PIP, right? It's an excuse to get rid of them. And that makes, you know how some people already don't trust HR, right?
Right.
And so do you think that contributes to employees having a lack of trust in HR and like managers?
The only reason why I think it does is because managers have a choice. Either you can use the PIP in a bad way just for your goals to get the person out, or you can tell the truth before you even get to the position of putting them on a PIP. I feel like It's when you put a person on the PIP and you go to a meeting and you explain all the stuff that's written on the PIP and the employee is like, wait a minute, what? You have never told me this before.
Yeah.
And so they're like,
like a blind date.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. I'm getting put on a PIP when you say I don't turn work in on time. You've never said that to me, nor has it been in my performance review. So when there's a lack of communication and you surprise someone with something like that serious as a PIP, it can be a little like, dang, wow, you really doing this? So from that standpoint, yeah, it does create a lack of trust. Because if these issues are not already documented in quarterly performance reviews, 360 feedbacks that you've shared with the person, performance reviews, all of those things, then yeah, it's a surprise. And it's like, are you serious? Get the heck out of here.
Right. In my experience, just observing, because I haven't done many performance improvement plans because I'm not on the HR side of the house. So I've never had to like work with a, you know, a manager on that, like, because I'm on talent acquisition. But I see that from my standpoint, it looks like a lot of performance improvement plans that employees are put on are for lack of or gaps in soft skill areas versus actual like work product type of areas. Is that your experience? Like attention and detail, sense of urgency, things like that. What are some of the common things that people are put on performance improvement plans for?
I would say those type of things are a main bulk of it, you know, but some of it is like job duties, especially if you're in a more technical role and like you're coding incorrectly or your analytics report is not good. Like those things matter, especially when they show up in results.
Or like sales quotas and stuff like that.
Yeah, they hit the bottom line. So a lot of those things, I'm thinking, you know, I think it just depends on the role. But, you know, a lot of that goes back to those base skills of attention to detail, sense of urgency, timeliness, time management, you know, and just stepping up. But, you know, it's really a two-way street. A PIP is supposed to be, it's supposed to be the manager trying, they're supposed to meet on a regular cadence with you in a PIP, like every week, to go over it, to go over where you stand with each of the expectations. You should send out a recap of what you discuss in those PIP meetings. So it's a lot for a manager to do a PIP correctly. Most managers do not. Because most managers, they sign a check that they can't cash, as Mommy used to say, because they're like, oh, I'm going to do this, this, and this. But 1 week goes by, and then it's supposed to be like a 60-day PIP. You have one meeting. Okay, where's the other 7 weeks? What happened? You fell off.
Right.
You didn't think about the labor and, you know, and that really does a disservice to the employee on the other side. Cause it's like, okay, you're supposed to be helping me improve and we're supposed to be talking through this and I'm supposed to see where I stand, but we don't have regular meetings. But then sometimes at the end, people be like, oh, I put them on a PIP. So that's good enough. Let's term them.
You know what, let me throw my little talent acquisition 2 cents in. I think that not all, but some of the PIPs, and not Gladys Knight and her PIPs, but some of the PIPs some of the PIPs are because managers make bad hiring decisions.
Oh my God. Yes.
Let me drop that really quick.
Yes.
Or so you can see, you can see the tip of the iceberg in the hiring process, but you know what I think sometimes blinds managers, and they inadvertently make that hiring decision, is because of bias. It could be because of relation bias, education bias. Oh, this person went to the same school as me, so I know they got to be smart and I know they're sharp. Or this person has a trajectory just like my career. I work here, here, and here, and they work here, here, here. There's so many things that I could list that contribute to these hiring decisions. And then when they get in, it's like, oh no, they're not what I thought. You had some, you know, people don't fill out their scorecards correctly, provide adequate feedback during the interview process, or maybe you're the majority of your interview team are like, no, I don't think we should hire this person. And of course, it's the hiring manager's decision. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to move forward. Hey, we get there. Or the team is like, yeah, we want this person. And the manager is like, I don't know. But I guess if the majority of the team wants to, you know, move forward, that's why I always think that the most important part of recruiting is preparing, because you're preparing for retention in advance.
Yeah.
If you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if you're preparing for retention in advance, you're thinking about the scope of the role. And then you're also thinking about how you evaluate on who aligns with the scope of the role and what outcomes you'll be looking for. And then you look for examples in that person in the interview process, right? And really ask questions related to the job. And that's, I think people lose sight of the basics of interviewing is it all should relate back to the job duties, because then they won't be coming and then 3 or 6 months into the job, you're putting them on a pin.
Yeah. I agree. Like, we should try to be proactive on everything on all sides. Yeah. Not, and you know, let's take a pause right here to hear from our sponsor.
Looking for a network to elevate your career goals? Membership with the Black in HR has benefits designed to elevate you as a professional. Our members grow their careers, connecting through networking events, professional courses, and social groups. The Elite Membership Program includes discounts on coaching and courses, private events, and free masterclasses from world-class instructors. Visit theblackinhr.com to register and join us.
So there's a couple of things that I want to say in regards to evaluating if you want to put a person on a PIP. You can do other things besides a PIP. Like, a lot of people, managers, like I said before, use it as like the last resort to documentation. But from my perspective, what I would advise is you to do quarterly reviews that are documented. Also, I would advise that you do a review annually of the employee's job description with the employee. So we're clear if we need to make any adjustments or tweaks to the duties or expectations that can be spoken about within that meeting. You can add it to the goals for the year. Also, a self-reflection period. So at the same time you're doing quarterly reviews, you can ask the employee for self-reflection. That way you can see if you all are aligned on what the employee thinks that they're doing versus what you think that they're doing, and make any course corrections there. So when you get to the point of repeatedly telling someone that they're not meeting the mark, you have 4 different times where you formally had conversations and documentation to present in terms of next steps on discipline, instead of saying, we got to do a PIP. I actually, in the last 5 to 7 years, have been advising managers away from PIPs.
That's good.
I'd rather they do performance management. Right. Manage the performance, tell the truth, and document. If right. the person is not working out, most states are at will. If, as long as you've repeatedly told them it's documented, then, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I wish you best of luck on your career search. And you can even tell them up front, if this doesn't if this doesn't straighten out or we can't have a meeting of the minds in regards to what I'm asking you to do versus what you're doing and what you're producing, then, you know, in the next 30, 60 days, I'm going to have to make some decisions. Yeah. And that way you give people a runway. You're transparent with them. They're adults. They can make a decision on whether they're going to stay and turn it around, or they can have 2 months to look for another job.
Yeah. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. But I say this like in whenever I'm speaking whenever I'm talking about feedback or anything like that, I always say that managers, and I think we've said this on the podcast before, Carla, managers, I don't know why this is so hard to grasp, but managers manage processes, not people, when it should be the other way around. It's managing people over processes. And if you are communicating, like you just said, with your employee, like having a conversation, it would be easy to provide feedback, right? And for that person to also provide you feedback, you know, having, especially if you're having week to week one-to-ones with this person, and then you're having quarterly evaluations, then you're having yearly evaluations. But people, managers don't manage like they're managing human beings. They manage like they're managing like processes.
Well, there's reasons for that. One, sometimes the manager isn't meant to be a manager of people. They were meant to stay an individual contributor. So yes. That's one. Two, people are afraid of conflict.
Yes.
And so they don't want to speak of the elephant in the room.
Right.
And then three, managing people is hard.
Yeah.
It's just not managing them, their work. You're managing them if they're impacted by family stuff, by, you know, circumstances out in the world. So, you know, it's difficult. And if a leader isn't skilled and trained to navigate those type of situations, they're not going to be successful in managing the people aspect of being a leader.
Right.
It's unfortunate. But
what should if a manager is listening to this podcast, which I hope we have some managers listen to our podcast. If they know, like if they realize, oh crap, I'm probably not a good manager of people, how can they turn that around?
They can ask for help.
Okay. Ask who for help?
Ask HR, ask a leader that they admire, get training or coaching, go to their L&D director and see what resources that are available for them to get trained on how to effectively manage people. And it's super important because although it's challenging, and you know, even transparently for me, it's challenging. I understand. I empathize with the leader, you know, any leader. But I mean, it's you got to be intentional every day. You got to be okay with failing other people sometimes. And, you know, but you got to give them the benefit of the doubt to be honest with them and think, hopefully, that they can take it.
Yeah, I feel like this podcast topic is sad, but it doesn't have to be. It does not have to be. Like both the manager and the employee can have a fruitful relationship with communication and transparency. It's just something that needs to be learned if that skill is inherent already.
Yeah. And I always ask managers to like help me help you. Like once you've gone so far down the road of darkness of managing your employee, and then you finally show up to HR for help, and you know HR professionals are trying to course correct what was already done or not done, it kind of ties our hand a little bit. The best that you can do, even if you have no skills as a leader, is to be honest watch your tone, and be honest with the employee and have regular communication sessions with them. That will help you to help HR to try to figure some things out, because you can't say, I didn't do my job, but here's my silver bullet. Let's shoot the pip. No, and it's after everything has blown up. The person destroyed a report that cost the company $1 million. What are we doing?
Right.
And it's like they had issues before. Like how long before? Like 2 years. I've been telling them for 2 years. Okay, where's the documentation? I mean, verbal conversations. Seriously? Or they'll say like, oh, this person is horrible. And then I look up their performance review and they're meeting expectations. What are we doing? Are you were scared to tell them that they were not meeting expectations in a performance review, but now you want to put them on a PIP to fire them? Yeah, no, that's not going to work.
Right, right.
I'd just rather you do the progressive discipline.
Right. So in that article you mentioned, I think it referenced, who's the article by again?
It's by Chris Williams. And I got this one off of Business Insider.
Okay. Didn't he say that, like, if you get put on a PIP, like, you need to start looking for another job immediately or something to that effect?
Yes.
And I've read that in multiple articles. That's just not that article, but over the years, I've read that. So, in your expertise, just, like, over your experience throughout, like, 20 years, Carla.
Yeah.
Like, it's more of the PIP that's like being used as a weapon, and the employee would be able to tell like, hey, okay, yeah, this person is trying to let me go. They're just like using this as a tool to do that. In addition to that, after, let's say someone finishes a PIP, like they complete it successfully and they're off of it. You think that they will be highly scrutinized for the rest of their career or duration of their tenure at that particular company?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't. And a word of advice for employees that's on a PIP, if you complete a PIP and it said that you've improved, I will ask for that in writing.
Great.
It needs to be
documented. I thought that was a given. They don't put that in writing?
If they have the meetings, if they document the journey of the PIP, they should request that in writing if it's not. And another clue on whether you need to get on Indeed or the blackandhr.com and look up jobs is...
Shout out to our sponsor.
Right. A telltale sign is if you show up and a PIP is given to you, and all of your performance reviews are meets or above, you don't have regular cadences with your manager, and you've never been told the things that's on the PIP, I would look for another job.
Great advice.
Just to have plans, like, because that's a telltale sign that the manager is not vested, because they weren't vested in telling you before the PIP.
That's true.
Now, all of a sudden, a year later, you've been doing these things for a year. Really? And you show up to tell me that. Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't.
Well, you heard it here, folks. PIPs or truth. Managers, it's your responsibility to be upfront and transparent, provide feedback and regular communication with your employees so you won't even have to get to a PIP. And employees, and Carla says this all the time, you have to make yourself what, Carla?
A regrettable loss.
A regrettable loss. So every day you're working, have passion, stay self-motivated about your work, ask for feedback. If your manager is not putting one-to-ones on the calendar for you all to have open dialogue, then you take that, you put it on the calendar. Mm-hmm. Like, you take that initiative and put it on the calendar. We want to avoid pips at all costs and just make sure we have truth, because that's the name of this podcast, Pips or Truth. And we appreciate you all for listening and always supporting the Career Salon podcast. We might have a part two to this because it's really an expansive topic. And also it goes into so many areas. Like I said, the TA piece, performance management, you could expand a lot on this topic area. So we might come back to this at a later date. But thank you so much for joining us for this episode. And we hope to see you all soon.
Bye.
This is Carla, the HR expert.
And this is Camille, the recruiting expert.
And we're the HR twins. You just finished an episode of the Career Salon podcast.
Be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at The Career Salon. And don't forget to subscribe and follow on all podcast platforms for upcoming episodes.